What's going on, everyone? This is Izzy with Off Script. My partner in crime, Charisma, is in LA today, actually, and she might even be listening. So, Charisma, shout out to you. We'll see you next week when you are back in town. But as it goes, if my co-host is not here, I either go off script and talk myself, or I'll bring in a special guest, or I'll just call in the big guns and have the executive director and producer come on. And that's what I'm doing today. So what's going on, Paige?
Not much. How are you?
Well, today is the first day of what is my, and I believe our, favorite month. Is that correct?
Oh yeah, absolutely. This is my favorite month.
It's got to be the favorite month. I mean, you've got it all in there. You've got our anniversary, which this year will be 4 years, ladies and gentlemen. You've got St. Patrick's Day, which we're going to talk. The majority of today's off script will be talking about St. Patrick's Day. You've got St. Practice Day, which comes before St. Patrick's Day to get you ready, in the mood, geared up for it. And then you've got St. After's Day, which is, you know, hair of the dog kind of a thing. One more hoorah. Let's not stop the party. So all that, and you've got the wonderful decorations. I love the culture of Ireland. I love the Irish just ethos, so much so that I want to move there and retire there and live there. And I'm going to do that one of these days.
Oh, is that right?
That's right. I love the shamrock. Love all the Irish food. You know what? We love it so much that we honeymoon there. And that's how we know. So it's legit. It's not just one of those, I wonder what it'd be like. It just seems so good because of, you know, seeing the movie Far and Away. No, we've actually been there. We spent a good 13 days there traveling the entire Republic. We didn't make it to Northern Ireland, but the entire Republic of Ireland, fell in love with just the people there. They're beautiful. So nice to us. Just so nice to each other in general. Hardly any crime. It rains a lot. You got to like the rain. That's just kind of a key thing. But other than that, it's just an absolute wonderful place.
Yeah, I think I am the only person who can go to Ireland and get sunburned. Although, actually, my sister did the same thing. So,
yeah, I don't know how you guys do that. But you guys did it. And it's fantastic. Yeah. So, you know, let's talk a little bit about St. Patrick. What do you think?
Sounds like a plan. Is St. Patrick's Day scripted? Because, you know, that's the whole point of your show.
Well, technically it is. That's why we're going to go off script. Because there's a lot of things that we believe to be true that aren't. Like, you know, let's just start with this. Did you know that St. Patrick is not actually Irish?
No, I did not know
that. It's not actually Irish. That's one thing. Let's go off script and let's actually get some truth in there. St. Patrick was actually born in England. He's English. And he was taken to Ireland as a slave.
So this is how you're going to make sure that Boddington's is included in St. Patrick's Day.
Well, this is why, I mean, I know you listeners can't see. I'm wearing an Irish shamrock shirt, which is nice, but I'm also wearing a fedora, which is also an English hat. So that's why you get away with doing both, because they're similar, right? So yeah, St. Patrick is actually British and was taken against his will to Ireland as a slave. And that is actually where he studied. He learned about Christianity, got fascinated with it, studied it, and then became a preacher in his own right. But yeah, that's the first off-script lesson.
Interesting. And in Ireland is where he, what, banished the snakes? We saw that, right, when we were there?
Another thing to do, another off-script, jumping ahead, that's okay. I like it. There's really no script, so there's no jumping ahead, right? There's no 1, 2, 3 points. There were no snakes for St. Patrick to banish because Ireland does not have snakes at all. Period.
Okay.
But the idea is the serpent is customary as an image of Satan or demonic kind of influence. And so in his missionary work, he drove out Satan from the land. And so it manifests itself in the stories as he drove out all the snakes, as in he drove out all the demons.
Oh.
Pretty interesting, right?
Interesting.
Let's see. What else is kind of interesting is St. Patrick is not actually his name.
No.
It's not actually
his name. Shenanigans.
Patrick or Patricus. which is the name that would have appeared at the time. And that is the name that he took when he became ordained to do religious work. So he took the word Patric or Patricus, which in Latin means nobleman. That also could be interpreted as like a father figure. And that's why he wanted that that name, because he wanted to show that he was a servant of God, noble only because of Christ, and wanted to be like a father figure to the people that he was preaching to, so he could kind of show them the light. His actual birth name. Are you ready for this?
I am ready.
I'm not even sure I know how to pronounce it.
Wait 1 second. Let me. I think I can give us a. I can give us a drum roll if you're ready.
I'll take a drum roll. Okay. Tell me when you're ready for it.
Oh no.
No drum roll?
I can give you a nice ba-dum-bum when you say something.
All right, so St. Patrick's actual name is Maywin Sukat. And I don't know if I'm... there you go. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Maywin Sukat or Sukat is his actual British name. And he adopted the name Patricus to kind of go along with his missionary work. And later became sainted. So he became Saint Patrick.
Wow.
Yeah, but being kidnapped and being a slave is a really interesting tale that we don't hear. And I don't know why we don't hear that. I think it's kind of a beautiful thing where these people who kidnapped him, he could very much hate them. He could very much want to, you know, sneak away, go back to England and fight against them, which the Irish and the English have been fighting for longer than other nations have, I think. I don't know. They've been fighting for a long time. But to show his forgiveness of them and his actual love for them and wanting them to come to repentance and come to Christ, which he found to be the way, I think that's a beautiful story of forgiveness. These guys kidnapped me when I was a kid, forced me into slavery, and these are the very people that I, out of my heart, that I now know God, want to save. I want them to know God.
Hmm.
So that's an incredible part of the script that's actually not scripted. So going off script, we could tell the truth about what's going on here.
I like it. Yeah.
Do you know why the shamrock is a thing for St. Patrick?
I want to say that... So I went to Catholic elementary school, K-8. I want to say that somewhere in those 9 years, we watched a cartoon about St. Patrick that showed him picking up a, not four-leaf clover, but a shamrock that had the three leaves, and he was saying that it had something to do with the Holy Trinity, like Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And that's why it was his thing, because he would use it as a sign of Christianity.
That's absolutely correct.
Yeah!
You grab the shamrock and look at the three leaves and say, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And the reason the fourth one was so lucky was because that means you get to be included in the Godhead. Not that you are yourself a God, but you are one because you have been saved, kind of a thing. Kind of interesting.
That is interesting. Well, and also, like, I'm looking at your shirt right now. It's got three. It's
yeah, the shamrock is definitely three. The four-leaf clover is just...
That's the lucky
one. The lucky one. Now, okay. Now there are other reasons why the four-leaf clover... is lucky, and we can get into those, but that was a pretty cool one.
Do you have a question?
What's that?
Will you be talking at all about leprechauns during this segment of Off Script?
You know, I don't know if I feel very comfortable talking about scary stuff like that without charisma.
Without charisma. All right, well, then you guys can talk about leprechauns when she's back next week. I have a feeling this month, you know, I'll cue up some Irish music in a little bit here, but yeah, I have a feeling every episode of Off Script is going to be on theme for Ireland this month. Is that right?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Sounds good.
So this says hundreds of years ago in Ireland, the four-leaf clover became the symbol of luck, with the four leaves representing faith, hope, love, which you see from 1 Corinthians 13, and success. So not only do you have all of the religious aspects, the faith aspects there, you also get some earthly aspect there in terms of being successful. It would help you see fairies, help you ward off evil spirits, and grant the holder just good fortune. So
nice.
A lot of stuff with the four-leaf clover. It's pretty cool. But the only thing right now the only thing I really know of leprechauns is if you catch one, then they've got to, is it they got to grant you a wish?
Yep.
Before you let them go, or they've got to give you their gold? Which one is it?
Ooh. You know who would know is Charisma.
Charisma would know. I know at the end of the rainbow is the pot of gold.
Is the pot of gold. And I think, I don't know if it's like a genie in a lamp where if you
catch it,
if you rub, yeah, if you let the genie out, then you get three. I don't know if it's like that.
I think it's if you catch a leprechaun, he has to grant you a wish before you let him go. And I think if you have any of his coins, he wants them back, so he'll grant you a wish, kind of a thing. Now, you could go the scary route, and they made a horror movie with Jennifer Aniston. I think that's her first acting. I think that's her acting debut.
Yeah,
was the movie Leprechaun. And the concept there is if you had any of the leprechaun's coins, he came after you, killed you, and took them back.
Jeez.
That's not lore. That's, you know, taking some liberties with the lore, which is what we're allowed to do, being creative.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We've got Irish music playing, just so you know.
I need it. By the way, another fun fact that is off script. He didn't actually wear green.
What?
He didn't actually wear green. St. Patrick was known to wear blue, but because green symbolizes Ireland because of how lush it is, how lush the land is, as you and I saw,
absolutely,
how beautifully green it is. And the shamrock is green. The flag is orange, white, and green. They attributed the color green to St. Patrick. And thus what they did was they actually accepted him into the fold of being Irish, even though he was British.
Interesting.
So they gave that to him as an honor for him, saying, you are one of us.
Wow.
Yeah, so there's that. He did write a couple of things. I haven't read these, and I probably should, but the first is called Confessio, or the Declaration, which I think... just Declaration in English, right? But Confessio is one of his works. And the other one is the Epistola, or the Letter to the Soldiers of Caroticus. So these include facts about his life. They're not as biographical necessarily, but include some facts about his life and also obviously his faith. So I think we need to pick those up and just read them.
Yeah, I think that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody really knows where he's buried. And we remember this. We actually went to the Pilgrim Road. We didn't travel the Pilgrim Road. We didn't walk up the mountain, which maybe...
We walked up part of it,
but we didn't go all the way to the peak. We were saving that for when we actually moved there. But we saw it. We walked up a little bit, took some pictures there. And that's where we learned that we don't actually know where he is buried. There's no actual grave for St. Patrick, remember?
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like he is a part of the land.
That's interesting.
Yeah, he's not.
And a little bit like, is he still alive?
Well, he's not Jesus. We can't give him that much credit. But it is interesting. There are a couple characters in the Bible who never died. There's Enoch and there's Elijah. Enoch just walked out of the earth with God into heaven, and Elijah got a really cool chariot with horses, and he rode out of earth into heaven.
So. And if you're Catholic, then you believe that Mary was also assumed into heaven.
Oh, well, there you go. The assumption. Yep. Is that January? No, when is the assumption? It's sometime.
I am a Catholic. It is Lent. I should know. But I am not tidbits with charisma savvy. That she just knows it all. She knows everything there is to know.
There are a lot of dates. The Assumption of Mary is August 15th. Thursday, August 15th this year.
Okay.
I think they celebrate it on or around August 15th. For that particular day, I don't know why, but August 15th, the Assumption of Mary.
Well, so there you go.
We can find out why later.
That's not off script, that's off topic.
Well, I mean, not really. We're talking about people who didn't die. And if St. Patrick is one of those people, in fact, we want to know what company he's in, right?
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
He's in some good company there. It'd be interesting if he were walking the land just kind of as a good spirit, making sure no evil spirits are around. Maybe that's why Ireland is so beautiful, and maybe why it's so peaceful and hardly ever any crime. And, you know, it's just, honestly, you just walk around any town. And like I said, we went all around the Republic of Ireland. So you walk around any town, pretty much anybody just wants you to get a pint, sit next to them and tell them your story and listen to their story. And there are fascinating stories there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I love that we chose March to get married so that we can kind of share in this beautiful culture and beautiful experience that is the Irish way.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. This isn't, it's not off topic, but it's not quite, it's a little bit of a tangent. I was just reminded, so you and I love the month of March. It makes us very happy. It brings us lots of silly joy for lots of reasons. You know, we got married this month. It's St. Patrick's Day, like you said. But there are some months that are really challenging for us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I was just reminded of, because I posted on social media about how much we love March, and someone messaged me, and a good friend sent something and said, you know, love how much you guys love this month. This month's actually kind of hard for me. Because I lost some loved ones during this month. And so, you know, just one of those things I kind of forget sometimes when we're having like a really silly, happy time that the good times for us are hard times for others, and the hard times for us are good times for others. And just a nice humbling reminder.
Yeah. And that's why, you know, somebody who reads the Bible, follows the Bible, you have that verse in Romans where you mourn with those who mourn, and you weep with those who weep, mourn with those who mourn, rejoice with those who rejoice. And it's this idea that there are going to be times that are joyful for me that are going to be mournful for others. And even in my time of joy, I can mourn with my brother or sister in their grief and be with them in that moment. And in the same way, in their grief, they can be joyful with me about my moment.
Yep.
And we can share that with each other. I know, it's tempting to get in to allow that jealousy to creep in and that envy to creep in, which, you know, I've been a person who's been envious and jealous because something that is going awful for me is going great for somebody else. And it's like, why can't that be me? I hate that that's that person right now, you know?
Yeah.
And you might, you know, have dark thoughts like me where it's that person doesn't even deserve this right now because that person is a jerk. And here's A, B, and C as the why I deserve it more than that person. Which, you know, that's definitely not of God, and that's definitely not the way we're supposed to align our hearts. But it's being human, and it's sometimes, you know, getting caught being human. And what you want to do is rise above that and actually be able to adhere to that verse where you can rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn.
Yeah. And I think it's I was talking about this earlier, just like the storytelling and sharing what's going on kind of thing. Just like what you just said. Sharing the moments when you're not being the best, this is a phrase that gets you, you're not being the best version of you,
mm-hmm.
right? And just being okay with actually saying that out loud, because I think we all do it. And so, like, if you're watching a movie, if you're watching a good Irish movie, and there's a character in it that you're like, you kind of don't really like that character very much, sometimes we're that character.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. On that note, top three Irish movies for you to watch in March.
Oh, Boondock Saints.
Okay.
The first one. I do like the sequel, but I don't think I would put it in top three.
Sure.
So Boondock Saints, for sure.
Absolutely.
Mostly because of the moment when William Dafoe goes, there was a firefight.
Yeah, that's a fantastic part. Love that.
So Boondock Saints, for sure. Snatch,
for sure. So you consider Snatch Irish?
Brad Pitt is absolutely...
Pikey?
Absolutely Irish in that movie, and he's for sure
a pikey gypsy.
Yep,
fair enough.
So Snatch, Boondock Saints, and we watch a lot of Irish movies.
We do.
I'm getting hesitant to pick a third one because I think I like the rest of them all pretty equally. Far and away. Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman. It's a Ron Howard, good Ron Howard movie.
Ron Howard's got a lot of good ones. You know, I got to tell you, though, their accents are awful. which makes me feel really good about my accent.
Well, let me hear you do the dad in Far and Away when he comes back in the beginning, when he wakes back up and Tom Cruise goes, "You came back to tell me that I'm odd."
"You're very odd, lad. Da, you came back from the dead to tell me that I'm odd?"
And then the dad goes, "You've got all kinds of oddities."
"That's all kinds of oddities."
Yeah, your accent, it's getting better. I wasn't super stoked when we were in Ireland and you kept pulling out that ridiculous accent. Just be you. And when you're, no need to pose. But yeah.
I mean, hey, you know, listen, I know I don't have the best Irish accent, but again, Far and Away lets me know that I don't have the worst.
It wasn't. Tom Cruise's accent is not so bad.
Oh, man, come on. Well, he does his best. Ned, Tom Cruise obviously is an incredible actor.
Yeah.
Tell
me you like me hat.
Tell me you like me hat. But I definitely have a better accent.
What are your top three?
Well, definitely Boondock Saints. And Snatch is one of my favorite all-time movies, but I don't know that I will consider that one to be an Irish movie, just given that you've got a Russian in there. It's mostly English because it's set in England, and you got mostly Brits. The only Irish part of that are the Pikeys, and they even say, "It's not Irish. It's not."
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
then The Gentleman doesn't count either.
Exactly. The Gentleman is another one of my favorite movies, but there's, you know.
Only one character.
Two. Oh, well, Colin Farrell's the Irish.
Irish.
He's the only one, huh?
I think so.
Yeah.
But it's in England, I think. So you're right. So I've got to pick a new third one.
I think I need to see this again. But do you remember when we watched The Banshees of Inisherin?
Yes. That is not one of my top three.
You weren't a big fan of that one?
I think it would have been much better as a play. And I don't know if it originally were a play, but I think I said that. I remember saying that when we watched it, that needed to be on stage. It would have been incredible, but it was way too slow,
in my opinion,
as a film. And I think it was like false advertisement. Like every preview that I saw for that film was hilarious. It sort of presented itself as an Irish dark comedy, and I didn't find it funny. I mean, there was some really dark satire, some commentary happening, but not comical satire. Like, satire usually is a dark humor commenting on something going on in the world. I didn't find it funny. I found it just maybe slow and sad and troubling.
What about as a rom-com, Leap Year? You had me watch that one for the first time and really enjoyed that one.
I think as a rom-com, I don't think I'd put it in my top three Irish movies, but as a rom-com, not bad. I liked it. It's cute. We'll watch it this month.
One that you should see, that don't get mad at me for watching it without you, but I had to. It's called The Guard.
You watched an Irish movie without me?
If it makes you feel any better, I watched it not in March.
No, it doesn't make me feel any better.
but Brendan Gleeson is obviously in it. He's one of the main Irish guys ever. But Don Cheadle's also in this one. And he's a really good actor.
Does Don Cheadle have an Irish accent?
He's got a British accent. Okay. Which is like what he does in Ocean's 11, right? Or the Ocean's trilogy.
So he's British in the movie then?
I believe so. Okay. Yeah.
Because that's the one thing that I hate is when movies are supposed to take place, you know, like The 300, it's supposed to be in like ancient Greece or Greece, and everybody's British. Everybody just has like a British accent, and that just passes as.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah, I hear you. What about Gangs of New York? That's where Ireland and America clash.
I do like that movie. We will absolutely watch it this month.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to watch. Maybe not hard to watch. I think it's more like Lord of the Rings. Like, you can't stop watching it once you've started. You have to see it all the way through. It's an adventure, you know? But I don't know. When you ask me my top my top picks, I always think of funny. I don't know why. I like laughing.
Yeah, so. No, that's fair.
Yeah. But it's a really good movie. The Irish accents in that movie are not that great either.
Right. In America is one of the best Irish movies around. That one's really sad.
I think I watched like the first 10 minutes of it.
No, I had you watch the whole thing, and it was a rough one. It was a rough one. I mean, that's the one where you have this Irish family who migrates to New York. They're just trying to make it. They've lost their youngest boy, and they've got their two daughters, and the dad is trying to make it as an actor, and just kind of just denying the loss that he has, trying to move forward. A lot of good scenes with him interacting with people. Finally, he gets confronted with the reality that he lost his son, and that's through meeting the most you wouldn't have expected neighbor that becomes their really good friends, or really good friends with them. Played by, I don't know how to pronounce his name, but Digimon.
I don't know how to say it.
I don't know how to say his name either. Yeah. I'm gonna look it up, how to spell his name.
Okay.
Digimon Hounsou.
Okay.
Yeah. He's really, really good in that. So yeah, all that to say, top three movies for me right now, which are subject to change. Boondock Saints will never change. Boondock Saints. Maybe Leap Year to get that rom-com in there.
Okay.
And if I need to get a drama in there, probably be The Guard.
Well, I can't put The Guard on mine because somebody watched it without me. So I've got Boondock Saints, Far and Away, and I need a third one.
Yeah, Far and Away is a good one, too.
Far and Away is a great movie.
Yeah, it really is.
It's a long movie, and it's sort of like a Steinbeck book, one of the larger ones that he wrote, where there's like eight different stories. It's almost like eight different books inside of one book.
Yeah.
Far and Away has at least three movies happening. There's the movie that happens in Ireland, then there's the movie that happens when they're in New York, and then
they're in Boston.
Boston, sorry. And then the movie where they're traveling west. Like three different huge stories all inside of one film.
Yeah.
Very good.
They're in Oklahoma when they're looking for land, right? Because I remember when you and I drove through Oklahoma and we saw a bunch of land, we said, oh, I wonder where the Far and Away.
Yeah, the Oklahoma land run.
Yeah, that was cool. Well, yeah. That's what I got today, you know, for off script, talking a little bit about St. Patrick, talking a little bit about some of our favorite Irish movies. I don't know how deep does it get on this radio show? Can we talk about like favorite drinks and stuff or
it is your time. It is your show. City Heart,
Irish Car Bomb.
City Heart, neither endorses nor
there you go.
Rejects. Or endorse or condemn, I think.
We neither endorse nor condemn, yeah.
The viewpoints of anyone else's segment.
Unless they're a really bad viewpoint, then I'll condemn them.
Well, or unless you say something so awesome that we have
that
to endorse.
That we do endorse, yeah. So we rarely endorse and rarely condemn.
There you go, yeah.
Yeah, definitely a car bomb. I make a fantastic Irish zesty.
Yes.
If I do say so myself, but you get here's the thing though, you got to use actual alcohol, ginger beer, not the fake stuff.
Although I will say, just like ginger ale with lemon juice and, I don't know what else you put in it, but just
the non-alcoholic version.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Good. Yeah. Ginger ale, lemon and lime juice to get them both in there. And that's it.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah, over ice.
That's it over ice.
Not bad.
Very, very healthy. For that, though, it's really nice to do. And this is because you juice a lot. And so we have this sometimes. But the best one I ever made was when you actually juiced lime, juiced lemon, juiced ginger. And I threw those three in with ginger ale.
Oh, that's right.
And it was delicious.
Yep.
Hot toddies, too, if you're sick. I mean, that's Irish whiskey ginger and lemon.
Yeah.
You really can't go wrong with that combination.
You could just have hot tea.
Nah, you need the, you know, you need the other stuff in there. But yeah, well, that's about it. We are super, super excited for this month. All of you out there who are going to celebrate St. Patrick's Day, please do so safely. It's on a Sunday this year, so most of you have to go to work the next day, so don't get too crazy. And even if you take the day off the next day so that you can go crazy, just make sure you don't drink and drive. Make sure you hydrate and make sure that you are making good choices and helping others to make good choices as well. If you're like us, then you're going to have a St. Practice Day to get ready for it, and then a St. After's Day as well. So, and by the way, those don't have to be the day before and the day after exactly. It could be, I could call St. Practice Day today if I wanted to. And on March 20th, I could call it St. After's Day. So, you know, you could play with the dates as much as you want. You could have as many St. Practice Days as you want up until March 17th. So that means you could really only have 16 if you're going to go strong. And St. After's Day, again, you can't have them going into April. So you've got 13 days. No, 14 days, right?
Yes.
31 days in March. So you've got 2 weeks after and just over 2 weeks before to get your St. Practice Days and your St. After's Days in there. This is Izzy. Thank you so much for listening to Off Script. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. And I hope you have an amazing month of March this year in 2024. Foggy.